Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that's really weird. Nothing seems to be working. Anyway, forget the intro. Thanks, everybody, tuning in for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir. Joined tonight, not by Sherry. She's not feeling well. We have Joe Walling. Hey, Joel, how's it going?
It's going. Just about as good as anything else can be going at the time right now, but yeah, it's going.
Well, thanks for taking the time to cover for Sherry tonight. Always a pleasure. We were talking a little bit earlier. I'm kind of having technical difficulty with the internet, and obviously my dashboard's not working the way it should. But regardless, we will carry on, and hopefully nothing will go too awry. We know how the government probably is listening to shut down Paranormal Horizons, especially when we talk about conspiracy stuff. We'll talk a little bit about that. Usually, you know, when we start the show, we talk about, I'll just start off with a weekly update. Nothing going on. Working hard and living the dream. I do want to give a slight apology out there for anybody that listened to last week's show with the coworker of mine that called in with his crazy one-night stand story. If you haven't listened to it, give it to a listen. But I did not realize that he was going to drop literally 150 F-bombs over the course of 30 minutes. We try and keep this. I'm not afraid of swearing, whatnot, but there gets to be a point where it's a little excessive, and I think it was a little excessive, so I do apologize for that. And the one thing that I came across that I wanted to mention this evening was, and this is kind of big news, we've speculated for some time that, you know, with all these stories coming out with UFOs and sightings and the government's releasing little bits of information here and there, I've kind of wondered if things are kind of shifting more towards UFO and alien disclosure, because that's the way the trend seems to be. But there's some big news on the horizon now. When Trump signed that $2.3 trillion coronavirus funding bill, what was in there was a thing about disclosing UFOs to Congress. So basically what's happening is there's a 180-day countdown for U.S. intelligence agencies to tell Congress what they know about UFOs. And I found that very interesting because supposedly Congress has really wanted to know about UFOs for a long time. And apparently they're going to get it, or they'll get something. They probably won't get the truth, but you never know. So maybe full disclosure might be coming out. Maybe it is all legit and not some big farce. I don't know. What do you think, Joel?
You know, actually, so this is something me and Michael have talked about a lot just in our personal conversations, because we found it absolutely hilarious that the government confirmed they had a vehicle with technology not of this earth, or made of materials not of this earth. And they wait until the middle of the pandemic to, you know, with all the stuff that was going on, the chaos in Washington and the stuff with the coronavirus and everything. They wait till this moment in time to go, you know what? We got this thing over here. We don't know where it came from, but we know it's not from here. And the fact is, it was on like every major news outlet. It was on all of the major networks. But because of, you know, the amount of deaths linked to the coronavirus, the spread of the coronavirus, all the shutdowns that were happening, the jobless rate that hasn't been seen since, you know, the Great Depression, this kind of stuff, it was a byline. You know, it was a little bitty print over in the corner of the page versus everything else that was going on. And it was actually perfect timing if you think about it. I mean, talking about making this kind of news public, the mass distraction, and I think it's kind of still in that same area. I mean, now that we have still the coronavirus going at, you know, a huge rate of spread and a death toll, there's new death toll records set every day. You've got all the chaos and the, you know, the stuff that happened in the Capitol on Wednesday. there's a good time to, it's sleight of hand. It's the old magician's trick. They're going to have all of this going on, but then they're going to be doing what they really need to do on one hand, but you're going to be watching the other one. And that's, I can see it. And I definitely think I think a lot of maybe the rumors that we've been hearing for years and a lot of the poor people that have been laughed at and kind of made fun of and really ridiculed and thought of as crazy, I think they're going to have a big I told you so moment coming, honestly.
It's hard to know what's going on with all the fake news or who knows what's going on out there. I really hope that the true information comes out finally. But do I think that we're going to learn everything? No. Do I think the government's going to say aliens live among us or people are being abducted? They probably won't give them that information, if that's even real information. They'll probably say, yeah, we're being visited. But it's an interesting developing story, and maybe over the next year or two we'll get some real details on what the government's happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear from everything that has been reported in the past, the government knows more than they're letting on. I mean, you have former military people come forward and talk about events and talk about things that have happened and talk about, they were given this to study and they couldn't figure out its origin and this kind of thing. The government is always going to know more than it lets out. It's going to give you, it's going to give you the appetizer and it's going to keep the main course for itself. And that's just the way the government works. And that's with everything. Everything that is released from the government, you're going to hear the fragment and they're going to keep the rest kind of to themselves. And that's just the way the U.S., well, not even the U.S. government, that's just the way governments, period, work.
And sometimes the information they give out is complete bullshit. So it's hard to...
Very true.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, you look at the stuff with even going back into the Kennedy assassination. If you think that this little guy was setting up in a book depository that was able to pull this off and bullets magically work in the opposite direction that they're fired and things like that, you've drank a little bit too much of the Kool-Aid.
Totally agree. Yeah, Lord knows what our government is doing to our own population and covert operations around the world. There's a lot of declassified information from 40, 50, 60 years ago, some pretty heinous things that the government's done on its own people. And you can look at the syphilis thing with the prison inmates. Apparently, they put a pathogen in San Francisco subway system to see how it spread. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So Lord knows what's going on behind the scenes. And yeah, I'm a conspiracy theorist, but sometimes conspiracies come true. There's a long list of them, actually. You can look it up online of things that were conspiracies that actually turned out to be real.
Yeah, well, it's kind of that. It's only a conspiracy theory until they're actually out to get you.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, and it's funny. Michael and I used to joke about that when you're doing a show or something like that, you try to come up with a formulated idea of at least some things to cover, and we used to joke that, we would love to know the poor NSA guy that had to listen to our conversations because it was funny. We would get weird pops and cracks. And then sometimes if we start hitting depending on the subject, we'd flat out just disconnect. You'd be like, no, you're not talking about that right now. Click, and that's it. And we couldn't reconnect to each other. That was always the weird thing. We could not reconnect. Internet drops out. This kind of stuff happens. you kind of get used to that. But if it ever dropped out, you just re-log on, you go back into it, you're back into business. Nope. wouldn't happen. We would not be able to reconnect sometime for, you know, 12, 13 hours. And it's like, okay, they, you know, and we started joking about it. Like, well, yeah, they didn't want us talking about that. Then you kind of start thinking about it. And it's like, well, you know, it is funny when we start talking about, like, the fact that, you know, two of our favorite conspiracies to talk about were John F. Kennedy, and one of them was also Marilyn Monroe. I mean, you look into the Marilyn Monroe stuff, that woman was killed. You know, even the pathologist and the you know, the coroner that did the autopsy said this was wrong. That you know, there is no way she would have had the been able to have taken the amount of medication that she took, that they say, or she had in her bloodstream, to kill her, without traces of the pills being left in her stomach. And there was none. You know, that was one of them that they love to disconnect, because you're literally, when the big thing comes into it, of course, she was in love with John Kennedy. Bobby was in love with her. And Bobby Kennedy was actually at her house the night she died. You know, and she had been reportedly talking about some pillow talk that John had said, given her, had talked to her about, and was going to make it public knowledge, which would not have went over well. And that's when we think it was like, okay, they you know, they shut her up.
It wouldn't surprise me. There's a lot of cases. There was a guy working on the MK Ultra. I believe it was MK Ultra, that LSD mind, whatever, you know, he ended up getting launched out of like a high rise building. You know, there's all sorts of shady stuff that goes on.
Oh yeah.
If you know too much information, I mean, you're in danger. And it wouldn't surprise me if the government shutting down podcasts and radio shows that are talking about things that they don't want you to talk about. I know I've had my fair share of weird technical stuff. And mind you, I realize there's going to be technical problems, but every once in a while you get something weird that happens and you're talking about something specific about the government or aliens, and then, you know, it's like, wow, that just happened while I was talking about UFO abduction.
Well, you know, that's one of the things, I've talked about that before, you know, like when I was saying, when we would lose when Michael and I would lose contact, he could like pick up a telephone and call me. It was our internet connections were the problem, and I'm a Microsoft trained computer tech. You know, I don't have computer issues. Well, you know, like I was telling you, you know, the computer I'm using. The one I use, I have my work computer, but this is my personal computer. I've had that thing for 6 years now, I think, and it's still running like a champ. It's because it's like a mechanic with a car. You know how to tune everything to make sure that this is going to last you as long as it possibly can. So when I have a computer issue that I can't fix, it throws up red flags to me automatically. Because, you know, literally people pay me to fix their computer issues. So that always kind of struck me. And it's like I said, it was when we were really getting into conspiracies like that. And I mean, some of the other stuff we talked about would be absolutely stupid. Like the fact that there was actually an investigation done by the FBI into the lyrics of Louie, because they couldn't figure out what they were, and they were afraid they were sexualized. You were talking about the declassified, and this has been classified for like decades. This was actually a agent set to, and he had to listen to that song and list out the lyrics. He couldn't go by what was like submitted by the band or submitted by the record company. What they wanted to know what the lyrics actually were. So this person had to listen to this song, to listen to Louie over, over and over until they got every lyric of that song. And if you remember Louie, that's a tall task.
Yeah.
There's some crazy lyrics in that song. So, yeah, they didn't have any trouble with that one, though.
I see that we, you know, somebody's called in right now. Let's see. Maybe they're listening. Maybe they
that
have.
Might be Michael himself.
Oh, well, let's check it out. Hey, who's this?
It's Michael. What's up, guys?
What's
hey.
Up?
Yeah. Because actually, one of the things. We're gone.
I was just listening to you guys talking about Marilyn Monroe and stuff like that. Yeah, that was a mess.
Yeah, Michael has always been more into like those conspiracies than I was. It was more that I was kind of raised in a different time where they had been more or less forgotten by the time I came into the conspiracy world.
Well, you know, but you have to look at things like, at least from my perspective, and I could be wrong on this, and I'm certainly not a political science major or anything like that, and don't claim to be, but when President Kennedy was shot, that changed the political landscape greatly for years after, because he was going to pull the troops out of Vietnam. And if the troops had come out of Vietnam early, there might not have been a lot of the things that came after that may not have occurred. You know, I mean, you can't say for sure, but it would have altered the timelines on a lot of things. And, you know, and after that, things like the Iran-Contra affair, and the stuff that was going on in Mena, Arkansas, with all the drugs that was being flown in and guns being flown in and out. There was a lot of stuff that was all connected, a whole bunch. And there were presidents, and they were like the death of Vince Foster. You know, he was one of Clinton's guys, and died under a somewhat mysterious circumstance. You know, all those things were kind of tied a little bit, looped a little bit together around that time. And if you look at them separately, you might not see it. But if you look at them together and you connect some of the names, you know, like E. Howard Hunt. E. Howard Hunt was in Watergate, but E. Howard Hunt was also in Kennedy. He was involved with the Kennedy thing, too. Hunt was in Dallas on the day Kennedy was shot. So were a lot of people. But, I mean, you know, there was connections there, things that happened later on, you know, different occurrences with some of the same players. Angleton, the CIA, James Angleton. He was in a covert action during that time for the CIA. He was involved with a lot of different things. One of his proteges, Cord Meyer, was the husband of Mary Meyer, who was actually one of JFK's girlfriends. And Mary Meyer was killed. She was shot. And they arrested a black man for the shooting, and he was acquitted. They never did bring anyone to justice for that. But Angleton was found involved in all that, too. So if you look at it back during the 60s and in that time in the early 70s, you had quite a cast of characters going on back then. And there really was a lot of oversight. You know, so kind of it was kind of like a Wild West back then. Whatever went.
Well, yeah, it's with the government. I mean, when you look at what they can... I guess
well,
I'm going to say that the people still trusted the government more. I think that the people were more blind to what actually does go on sometimes.
Oh, sure, because they were you know, back then it was like the government's not going to, you know, I mean, it was just the way it was. You know, like we talk about on our show, like if Walter Cronkite said it on the evening news, you could bank on it being right because Walter Cronkite said it, you know. And, I mean, people laugh at that now because we got umpteen gazillion news outlets and most of them don't fact check anything. But back then, you know, if it was on the nightly news and Walter Cronkite said it was the way it was, well, then there, that's the way it was. And, you know, sadly, that all kind of, we lost that when we got into the information age, you know, with the internet and everything else. You know, there are no more news deadlines. It's instantaneous. Something happens at 4 o'clock, it's on the line, it's on the web at 4 o'clock and 15 seconds if it's not being broadcast live. You know, because it used to be you had a day's lag time. If something happened on Monday, the news got it on Tuesday because they had to write the story, send in the film, have the film developed, and all that kind of good horse stuff. You know, and because you're in different time zones, you know, you can pick up the phone and call your editor, but you couldn't post the story till the following day because it had to be sent in. But it doesn't work like that now.
Got the internet.
And because the news, you know, the internet puts it right here, right now. It happened like 2 seconds ago and it's online. The problem with that is there's no time to fact check any of it. So a lot of what you get on the internet is pure bullshit. You know, you can't believe any of it. I don't mean that from the left or from the right. I mean from any of it. Because they're putting stuff out there so fast. There's stuff going out so fast that they don't have time to fact check it.
And yeah, it's a need to get it out first.
Because they want to get it before the other guy puts it out. And,
like those,
you know, but
like those guys that run around with the, it's like those guys that run around with the cameras, you know, to pick up news, to get accidents and shooting, you know, the stringers that go out. It's like it's all about
yeah.
who's getting first.
Yeah, you know, they want to get there to get the accident scene or get the car chase or get whatever. And, you know, you got five guys going for it, and the first guy with the camera in the right spot to get the money. And, you know, I mean, but I was born in the late 60s. So when Watergate happened, you know, I remember watching the Watergate hearings. I didn't understand a lot of it. But later on when I went to school, you know, we had classes that was discussed, you know, in detail. And it was a fascinating subject. You know, the Kennedy conspiracy is a fascinating subject, even though a lot of people don't realize that the House Select Committee on Assassination concluded that Kennedy was killed by conspiracy. That's what they found, but a lot of people don't realize that. You know, just like here recently, the government came out, or the New York Times and the mainstream media, the New York Times everybody comes out with quotes from the Pentagon. We have aliens. We have technology not from this planet, or something to such effect. Now they did that right in the middle of a COVID pandemic when they announced that, and it got almost no airtime because how's it gonna when you got people with COVID and everybody sick and hospitals overflowing and all the political stuff in D.C. and all that kind of stuff. But think about what they actually did there. Every lie that was ever told from 1947 at Roswell until the day they made the announcement, they just negated. Because think of all the people that were accused of being crazy. And some of those people probably wound up in mental hospitals because they went to somebody and said, I saw a UFO, and they wound up on a damn med, you know? And if we have technology from another planet, it had to get here somehow. We sure so didn't go after it, so it had to either fly here and just materialize out of thin air, But if it flew here, then somebody flew it here. Right? That would stand to reason. You know, all those people that claim to be alien abductees, and I've never really been into that area of study much, kind of on the fringe, because sometimes it would come up in other cases that we would work or things we'd look at, and it would be an element of that. But that's never been my primary focus of research. But regardless of that, if something flew here and something had to fly it here, then you can't say alien abductions never happened because there are no aliens when you just said we have technology from other planets. You can't have both. You know, if A is a craft from another planet, then B has to be alien. You know.
Yeah.
Then C has to be, well, that means if B is aliens, then C has to be the possibility of an abduction.
I'm not familiar with this revelation. Somehow that got over me. So who said
it
that
got
we
over
are
a lot of people? It was in mainstream media. It was in the Washington Post, the New York Times. It was on the news for like 2 seconds.
And they said that we have
not, not from this earth.
And who said that?
The Pentagon.
Wow.
And that was part of their, because that is one thing Trump did do, is he made them release a lot of their, it was during the time that they were releasing the fact that they did have for some time the Pentagon had a committee set up dealing with the fact that there could be what to do if an alien invasion. And they were, basically they were watching for something to happen. They also confirmed, I want to say three, but it may have been two separate videos that had previously been released that they had kind of denied. They confirmed that, yes, these were legitimate videos, and no, we do not know these craft that are in them. We don't know if they're from another, you know, a government testing from another country. We don't know what they are. And that's, you know, so they released a lot of information in a very short time of all, you know, all involving previously classified videos and documents and research that was done, that basically they were saying, you know, there have been things discovered that we can't explain what they are. And one of them did come out and said that, you know, that they had technology that was not from this earth, it was not from this earth. There was also a scientist that was allowed to talk about his work he had done with the Pentagon, because his case files had been declassified, and he came out and said that they had given him materials that were not terrestrial in origin. So these things were not this material. I don't know if it was, he just called it materials, as far as I can remember. This came out in, what was it?
There's an article here.
April. I think April or May.
July. Well, there's one here I got from July of 2020, but I don't know when it was. There's a recent report was in the New York Times that the Pentagon had actually been conducting classified briefings for over a decade, analyzing various things. And they had a unit, Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force is what it was called. And it was supposed to be disbanded, but apparently it went black after that. It went off book. so it was still going on. And then one of the scientists involved in it came forth, because they had, Pentagon had several videos that were put out. They had some cockpit videos from military jets, like F-18s and stuff, that actually had UFOs on their cockpit heads-up displays. One of those they called the Tic Tac. It looked like a Tic Tac. And that one was making the rounds for quite a while. But they said that they had sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought I heard somebody say something. Let's see here. What else? Trying to.
I'm researching while I'm talking,
so it's hard to do both. But.
Yeah. Like I said, I couldn't remember exactly when these were released. Like I said, they put a lot. You had everything going on with the pandemic, the shutdown, of course, you know, the everything going on politics-wise, and they really kind of flooded when they made these announcements. They really flooded it. They didn't just do like, you know, a couple of things. It was like, you know, well, here are these videos, here are these documents, here's this been unclassified. Oh, and yeah, by the way, that group that we told you, you know, only existed for like 2 or 3 years, it's actually been going on for about 30 or 40 years, and we just haven't been telling everyone. That's why hammers cost $50,000 and toilet seats cost $25,000, you know. That was the kind of thing they let out. That, you know, they were hiding it in funding bills and things like that, and they had continued to, you know, to investigate these things. Because, like I said, they had credible evidence of some form of craft, either it being a foreign government airplane that is something that we were not able to detect or determine or catch or anything else. These things were like 10 times more maneuverable and faster than our best aircraft, or they were not from this planet. They don't know. These things just, you know, kind of showed up, and there was, you know, several videos of this, and like these were actually, you know, they were actually, you know, these were cockpit recordings from the U.S. Air Force, that when these things would enter into the airspace, they would be dispatched to intercept and try to figure out what the hell these things were, and this is what was released by the Pentagon.
And these things when we're flying in them, do it impossible. I mean, they were really flying at huge speeds, like 50 feet off the surface of the ocean, like 50 feet off the deck, you know? I mean, and stuff like that. And it was just, you know, I mean, but you got to remember, ever since 1947 at Roswell, the government's been denying the existence of aliens and everything. Now, granted, a lot of the things that people saw were probably classified government projects. They were. And they had to cover them up somehow, and the best way of doing it, because if you see something you don't know what it is, it's unidentified, right? It's on an airplane. You see something goofy flying around. And the best way to cover that up was to make people think that it was aliens. You know, because you're not going to admit to the classified airplane that you just built, because at that time, the Cold War was in full swing. You don't want the Russians or the Chinese to know that you've got an aircraft that can penetrate your military defense. So,
and that's
if you make it look like, you know, if you make it look like it's an alien or something, oh, well, the aliens don't exist, but you saw a UFO. You know, you look crazy and we're clear.
There was a lot of cases of that, you know, with the stuff that was developed at Area 51. The SR-71 Blackbird and the U-2 spy plane and all that, they were, you know, the technology at the time was outstanding, and people would see those weird shapes in the sky. And that makes a good point. It makes perfect sense, you know. Maybe these what these, the videos that the military captured are actually our craft, and they're saying, oh, we don't know, or they're UFOs. Maybe it's us.
Well, I mean, hell, who knows? I mean, you can't put much by the military. You can't really say that they wouldn't do something, because I don't think there's a lot that at some point they wouldn't do. You know, I mean, I don't think that it is. It may not be as bad as it is like on a movie or something, but I mean, still, there are some pretty shady shit that goes on. You know, I mean, there are so many agencies that we don't hear about. You know, I mean, they're not exactly secret, but they're not talked about either. You know, the alphabet soup, you know, everybody knows the FBI and the CIA and the NSA. Because that poor guy at the NSA that has to listen to me and joke talk on our show every week, he probably wanted to pull his hair out. But we always claim that there's a guy in the basement of the NSA that we pissed off, and he pissed off somebody and ended up having to listen to us for stuff. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that. And it's a complicated issue. It really is. I mean, there's a need for secrecy. I don't believe in full transparency, because some things don't need to be known. Because if they were known, people would die. You know, you have covert assets in place in foreign countries, and if things got out, people could die. And there's a need for intelligence gathering, and there's a need for secrecy doing that. And it's not cut and dry, like, oh, the government shouldn't keep stuff secret. Well, yeah, they should. Because, you know,
ignorance.
If you need to know, if you only, you don't need to know. Knowing would not help you any if you knew. You know what I mean? There would be no plus side to you knowing. But in fact, you knowing might put you in more danger than if you didn't know. So you're better off not.
So if we were being by aliens, you know, as food or something like that, would you want to know?
Hell, if they want my ass, I'm a one-legged guy in a wheelchair. If they want me that bad, they know where to find me. I sure as hell can't run. You know. But, you know, I mean, like, I have an acquaintance. I won't say he's a friend. I know him. But he calls himself, I forget what he called himself now, but he's a contactee. He showed me a picture of a UFO that follows him. He's seen on more than one occasion. His wife's seen it, he's seen it, his young son has seen it, and he showed me a picture of it that he took on his cell phone. It was a triangle with three lights, a light in each corner. You could clearly see it in the night sky. It was, you know, a triangle. It was one of the big deltas. And he showed me the data on his phone. He said, I'll show you where I took it. And you could see that it was taken on the phone that he had. And it hadn't been augmented or anything. It wasn't doctored. The metadata on the phone hadn't been messed with. But he had a picture of it. He said, every time we go on a trip, we'll be driving down the highway in the evening. We can look up, and sometimes we'll see one. My wife sees them now, too, he says, and my kid sees them. I have no doubt that he's not. I don't doubt that he's telling me the truth. What reason would he have to lie about it? You know, because to face that kind of ridicule, I mean, I live in the South. If you go around seeing people, you see UFOs and stuff, you're liable to wind up in a damn straitjacket taking meds. You know, it's not the kind of thing you still, even nowadays, you don't go around blabbing about it. So, you know, things happen. I'm sure there are things that go on. But I don't think that we actually have any idea the true scope of it. I think if we did, it would just boggle the mind that there's so much of it. I know. Have you ever heard of Stephen Greer?
Oh yeah, he's pretty popular.
Yeah, he's a big-time guy. Somehow or another, he wound up with 5,000 pages of classified documents that somebody sent him. And by the way, it's not illegal for you to have classified documents as long as you're not the one that stole them. You know, I mean, he can have all the, there's nothing they can do about that. If he got them, you know, there's no law against him having them. It's just that as long as he's not the one that stole them. And actually, Marilyn Monroe is in one of his documents. Speaking of her, I don't know if you know this, but one of the documents he has was an order by James Angleton to have her eliminated. And it's actually in there. I found that interesting.
Yeah, apparently he like debriefs head stuff. I mean, he's a really connected guy in the
you know, if you believe what he says, I mean, I don't know. I have no reason to doubt him. But according to him, he's talked to the Pentagon and the president and everybody else.
Of course, he could be working for the CIA. I mean, that's the problem. You just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to jump in real quick. Yeah, and give you a little bit more background of what we were talking about with the vehicles not of this earth. This was from the article I just pulled up. It wasn't more than one place, but it was the one I found quickest was from the New York Times. This was Eric W. Davis, an astrologist who had worked as a subcontractor and a consultant for the Pentagon UFO program since 2007. He said he has given briefings as recently as March of 2020 about retrieval of off-world vehicles not made of this earth. And this was all part of the Pentagon declassifying that they did of the different videos and papers, and where they actually made public knowledge that the previously thought to be disbanded and stopped program that they had investigating these things actually just went black and had continued to operate in the shadows. And he is a member of that program. And that was as recently, two had stuck out in his mind. One was from March of 2020 and one was from September of 2019. So, I mean, it shows that there had been fruits from this program that they were doing and what they were looking at. And I mean, you do, like I said, you have someone actually stating that they had retrieved something made of, or had briefed the Department of Defense and national security teams on the fact that they had retrieved something not made of this earth.
Boy, I wish I'd love to know the details.
Right. Well, you know, and I got to say that to me, it always just struck me as weird. Look at the timeline of technology in the world. It was like, you know, we moved at a relatively normal pace going from, like, you know, wind-powered ships to steam-powered ships to, you know, the way the first trains, then the first automobiles were built and those things. And then it seemed like, you know, we were off to the races. And
fiber up.
Yeah.
Stuff.
You know, within, like, it took us, like, you know, decades to go between, you know, like, trains to cars.
Well,
and then
the first manned flight, the Wright brothers flew from Kitty Hawk to the launch of the first moon launch was, what, less than 70 years?
Yeah. And now you look, you know, technology, the advancements of what we have. It was like it took longer to get to the primitive point than it did to, you know, get to where we are now, to where we actually have planes that will go into space without all of the what had previously been done. And look at just the mere fact of different storage methods. Being a computer guy, one of the things I always loved to laugh at was them showing if I'm not mistaken, it was a 4 megabyte computer that they were moving into NASA. And it took a flatbed truck and 4 people to move it. You know, now we have, you know, memory cards half the size of your thumbnail that hold literally a couple of thousand times that much information.
Well, hell, there's more memory on your phone than there was in the first NASA computer.
Yeah, actually, the first when NASA put the first man on the moon, there is more computing technology on the average cell phone than in all of NASA at that time.
Well, you know, if you look at things,
Commodore 64, that was my first baby. 64 bits.
Me too. Commodore 64, that was my first too. Oh man, it was like then getting an Apple II or one of the IBMs. I mean, come on, you were made then.
Oh yeah.
Well, if you look at things like electronics, look at integrated circuits. The most like a 550. If you have any of your listeners that do electronic stuff, like a 555 timer circuit, you know, it's like a 8-pin circuit. You know, which goes into a board, and it does a whole bunch of stuff. You know, it's got relays and got capacitors and resistors and all kinds of stuff built into it. And some of those circuits are tiny, tiny little things, you know. And hell, we were using vacuum tubes up until when? I had a TV when I was a kid. The TV we had a big, huge air tube in it, you know.
Now we have TVs as thick as that are thinner than those tubes.
Yeah.
You know, actually, not even on topic, but I just saw one that absolutely blew my mind. The thing is as thick as a debit card, and you can actually bend the screen and fold it.
Alien technology, best.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you, there was something we were talking about, actually, and Michael was part of that. It was what we were talking about a little bit before we came on. You know, everything is really integrated right now. You have Amazon Alexa, you have, you know, the Google Home stuff, you have Siri from Apple, and they can control everything. I mean, they've got like remotes now. You could tell, hey, find me something to watch on TV, and they will actually bring up, like, go through what you've watched and figure what would be best suited for you. I got things you can say, like, hey, turn on the light in the hallway. Turn off the light in the bathroom, you know, things like that.
Well, yeah, we got a bulb. We got a bulb that came with our Alexa. It's a smart bulb. And the damn bulb is linked up to the Alexa, and I put it in the bathroom and do something with it. So turn the bathroom light on, and the light will come on.
Yeah.
Why would you have
the thing that gets you?
Oh, my God. Never.
Yeah. Now, see, here's the thing that gets me. Me and Michael were talking about this the other day because basically a lot of the time I'm Michael's Google. If something he's not sure about or something he wants to know, especially with technology-wise, he'll just be like, hey, what the hell is this? And, well, one of the things he asked me about the other day was Bluetooth. You know, it was with actually a paranormal experiment we're still kind of working on. He's like, well, could you hook this up using Bluetooth instead of doing it this way? So now all of a sudden when Michael goes on like Facebook or something like that, all of his ads are for Bluetooth stuff. You know, mind you, Michael didn't actually type Bluetooth in anywhere. He asked me about it, you know. But now all of his ads are for Bluetooth speakers, Bluetooth headphones, Bluetooth this, Bluetooth that, Bluetooth the other. And one of the things that made it stick out in my head is a few months back, I was watching a movie. I was watching it on my phone. And I'm just kind of not paying any attention. I had headphones in and everything. And they were talking about somebody with a anime body pillow. Now, if you like anime body pillows, that's fine. That's you know, that, not like saying anything about them. I don't have an anime body pillow or a body pillow of any type. My body is a pillow. I don't need any more help filling that out. You know, but all of a sudden my ads start popping up looking for anime body pillows. Now, according to the way these phones and everything are set up, there's supposed to be either a keyword that is used that will trigger it, such as, you know, with Apple, you would say, "Hey Siri." You know, I don't use anything Apple, so I don't have to worry about saying that. Or, you know, with Google or whatever, there's always an activation phrase. The fact of it is there was no phrase said with this. I was watching a movie, and Michael goes, "Hey, do you think Bluetooth would work with this rather than using it this way?" So that means this thing that is supposedly there to help us, it was listening to the whole conversation, and it picked up, "Hey, they might be looking for something for Bluetooth. Let's give them ads for it."
I've had that happen. I've like talked about random, just some random product, not something, you know, common. And the next thing I know, it's popping up in my ads. Scary.
Yeah. And, you know, it just makes you think for a second. It's like, hold on. You know, I mean, I get that it's supposed to be all convenient and, you know, it's supposed to make life easier and you've got all of this going and that. But you really want to look at it and go, you know, if I wanted to look for something for me, I would tell it. But that means that your microphone is on at all times. It's like every word we're saying right now, it's being picked up. Now, yeah, who's listening to it?
Yeah.
I don't
know. The
guys
in Fort Meade are having a full day right now. They're ordering pizza. Listen.
Yeah, it's probably that same poor guy that gets put in the basement and, like, you know, we've always decided that the person that has to listen to us talk is getting punished. He's like the, you know, the Barney Fife or the Gomer Pyle of the NSA.
Yeah.
It's funny poor you just bastard. Have to say it's. Just mentioned pizza because I literally had pizza delivered like 2 minutes ago. So I think you're psychic.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, Joe and I don't miss too many when we both like pizza. So you're
no, that's definitely one. I'm always in for that.
Yeah, not many people don't like pizza, but I just think this technology is getting to a point where it's kind of scary. I believe it is listening passively. It's getting harder and harder to get off the grid, even if you can really get off the grid practically anymore. And it's not even so much the government as, you know, a large corporation, you know, selling your data and wanting to know what you're into, you know. In fact,
well,
I think what was that?
Well, look right now at the space stuff. I mean, you got SpaceX doing launches now. You know, it's a private company doing the space stuff. Elon Musk, I think it is. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
You know. I mean, so. You know, because right now NASA doesn't have, as far as I know, doesn't have a lift vehicle. Because we don't have shuttles anymore, I don't think. So, you know, and we really can't go. We don't have a long range propulsion system. I thought it was funny when I heard that we have Space Force.
Yeah.
We can't go anywhere, but we have a Space Force.
Well, because aliens,
you know,
visiting us. They have a militarized, highly trained individuals that can fight aliens.
So what are we going to do? Borrow a spaceship from them, because we don't have any of our own.
Well, no, they're here for when they get here, so we have people here waiting for them.
Yeah, I guess. I thought it was funny too, because their emblem looks like the one from Star Trek.
You know, my whole hope is if and when the aliens finally do decide to attack, I kind of hope they're like the Martians from Mars Attacks.
That would be hilarious.
You know,
laugh at them.
I'm waiting for the day they're running down the street blasting people going, "Don't run, we're your friends. Don't run, we're your friends." You know, I'm just waiting for that.
Well, you know, it looks like we're just about out of time, and honestly, I got a hot pizza sitting downstairs, and I'm starving. But for the listeners, now you guys are doing your own show, right?
Yeah. We have restarted the Night Stalker. It's every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific time. Of course, if you can't listen to it live through Spreaker or on our Facebook page, you can always find it on iTunes, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere you want to find a podcast at.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks, guys, for coming on and helping out tonight. I know Sherry's not feeling well, and you guys are part of the team, and it's awesome. So thanks for that.
Yeah, anytime, man, just let me know.
Right on. Well, with that, we'll just shut her down, because I got to eat, and I need my pizza. So we'll see everybody next Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and hope everybody has a safe and COVID-free week. And thanks again, guys. Good night, everyone.